T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Born May 17th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Although America first met him through such wholesome family fare as Full House and America's Funniest Home Videos, we grew to love him for his dark and twisted brand of stand-up comedy, and over the years, he's become a true friend. You can see him on the upcoming final season of the Netflix series, Fuller House, and this Friday night, you can see him live on stage at the Ameristar Casino. Please welcome, longtime friend of the show, Bob Saget.
Whatever happened to
what are you doing?
I don't know whatever happened to predictability. Smoke Man, the Paperboy, they've all tried to touch me and I didn't like it.
How are you, brother?
I'm pretty damn good. And so let me just fill you in, because I've been listening to you for a good 3-4 hours. And this morning, that just kept it off the hook. Wish you were here. Benjamin, the Redbox app, you can actually, just like any other app, like a Hulu app. This was the first original movie they ever did, and they made me an offer I couldn't refuse. So you can go to the app, and it crushed it. It did really well, but then crushed it. Who says that? I don't know.
You can still say crushed it,
man.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
it's
you can
dead.
Still say it.
So it's available for streaming and downloading. You don't have to do the old school Blockbuster route, but they do have those 40,000 kiosks, which do have reclining beds in them. And then it'll be out on VOD and iTunes and all that in the months ahead, so you'll be able to see it.
Well, everywhere. It looks great, that trailer. I was watching that. I'm like, holy cow, look at this cast. There's you and Cordry and Marilyn Rastjub and Sherry O'Terry.
And Kevin Pollak.
Yes.
I'm really proud of it. You know, it was really hard to do. We did it in a very short amount of time, and everybody just gave of themselves, and everybody was great.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see you this weekend. And I don't know when you get in, if you're going to be able to stop by and hang, but I know.
Yeah, I get in on Friday sharp, but early enough, obviously, to gamble all the money for the month, and then be at the beautiful Ameristar.
Sure.
With Mike Young, we're going to do our thing, and you're coming to it, right?
Of course. And then and Mr. Mike Young, who, by the way, do not miss this guy. He is incredibly funny. Incredibly funny.
He really is.
I was super excited by him, and then I follow him on Instagram as well, too. And that guy, he's working his ass off. I mean, he really has applied himself. I mean, he's doing everything he can.
Yeah, he's going to be directing a movie, but he's really producing it right now, getting it ready to try to get made. And it's a big rapper movie, and it's got a lot of people that are well-known involved, because he's from Detroit, and he's an unusual guy. He's a very special guy. And he's a good friend.
You have been just all over the place with a beautiful wife. And I mean, you travel a lot, but I feel like you're traveling a lot now. Like, you just, it's nonstop.
Yeah, we're going far. We go, she takes me a long time places.
But you know what? I can see it in your face. And I'm not kidding. Like, you know, there's everybody's got a smile for the camera and you got caught by the camera. Look how much fun that guy's having face. And you.
Yeah, I really do love her. So that's like, that can only end in tragedy. But it's.
That's a fact.
But I had been married for 20 years. My ex-wife and I were divorced that long. And we still talk to each other a lot. You know, mostly cursing, but it's she's a good mom, so we do our thing. We got 3 daughters, that never ends. And you know, when you have kids, no matter what their age, you still, well, I guess if they're like 60, but when they're young, my daughters are 2, 5. Not, that's not true, because I've been divorced 20 years, that doesn't make sense. They're 32, 29, 26. Hike. And
how do they do with Kelly?
Kelly and I are two different ages also.
Yes, I noticed that. I mean, but in your defense, the closest I've ever seen you in age.
It's an adult relationship.
It is.
That's what I have not had before, which I kind of did. I don't know. I was young when I was 26 when I got married last time. So this is only my second wife, so I'm going against all Hollywood tradition.
Sure.
But, you know, I have friends that are serial marriers. They get married five times, and sometimes they do prenup, sometimes they don't. I don't understand how people
it's crazy.
Life and can do that. I mean, five times.
Institutionalized. I have friends like this. It's like the guys who go to the joint, and they've just been there, and they're all Brooks was here. You know, they can't live outside the joint anymore, the institution. So the second they get out, they hate this thing. They're too nervous and lonely and weirded out, and they immediately lock back up with the first person that will say yes.
Yeah, it's like meeting someone. And if you meet, well, I mean, I guess saying getting married is not like having spent all that time in the joint. But
I feel like
you know,
it is.
You're coming down the aisle. You go, there's a bird of peace flying overhead, and that's your only connection with humanity. Like living in a tower in Game of Thrones till you meet that special person.
But it is great.
People should be able to marry anyone, like animals. I think people should, you know, I was a ring bearer recently at a wedding of Kelly's dear friend. I mean, but how great would it be if like a sheep got walked down the aisle?
I think I have a weird look at that, because if it's a male sheep, then I think, well, this is weird, but okay. But it's a female sheep, then I just feel bad for it.
Well, you know, it's whatever floats your boat, you know. And the question is, do you get sheared before the big day?
Oh, well, you know they're not going to shear after the big day.
No. You want all that.
That wool's just going to come back. That's the don't touch me wool.
Yeah, it might be. Or more cushion for the pushing. You never know. But you know, you put a bell around their neck, and that's, I guess, instead of a ring, because you can't do it if they got hooves. They have little cloven hooves, right?
Yes, they do. They do have hooves, yes.
Oh, that's so hot.
They're cloven, yes.
There are people that really do subscribe, you know, shepherds. You know, they're lonely, they're young. It's like the guy you're talking about. He's in jail, he gets out of the joint, and then he marries the first person that he sees. And if that's a cow, then he has to tip her off her feet in order for her to love her.
But, you know, the whole marriage thing, Bob, though, you know, look, there's a reason you didn't marry all for 20 years. You dated, and you loved people, and you met nice people and cool girls, and you had a good time.
Yeah,
everything
I would fall for people. I did get crushes that turned into
love
or what I thought was love, and sometimes it was. As you look back on your life, and then occasionally you'll run into someone that you dated that if you didn't do well with them, you know, it was with your car that you ran into them. But other times, no, you can't do those jokes anymore.
I think you can. I will do it.
Which you'll be able to hear Friday night at the Ameristar Casino.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm looking forward to, is that great stream of consciousness Bob Saget comedy, which just, it's about the audience and the give and the take, and the more interaction there is, the more that just dictates the direction it's going to go. You've been doing this for so long.
Real. That's what I love about stand-up. And if you're going to be, they call it crowd work, people that don't know what comedy is, not to put down people that do know what comedy is and say that your crowd work was good. But if you said to Don Rickles years ago, and I miss him very much, people would say, you do good crowd work. He said, crowd work? What am I, ushering people to the showers? It's like, whoa, Don, please. Don't say that. You can't say that.
No.
Don't tell me what to say. I'm 89 years old.
I miss that. I miss it so much, man.
What a guy. Such a good guy to me. And I wasn't that close to him until I did Dirty Work. That was in 98. And he just changed my life. I mean, he just, I was like a son to him, which was.
What a feeling.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Stamos did the whole thing, because I just think he liked John because he was so handsome. It reminded him of Dean. He was close with Dean. He was close with Frank than anybody, but Dean. And then he wasn't close with Jerry Lewis. So you know.
Nobody's very close with Jerry. I don't think Jerry.
No.
Jerry was by all accounts, and I don't know this firsthand, but by all accounts was an acquired taste. And, well, I think he just had to care for you. If he cared for you, I'm sure it was fine.
What? But he was, his ego was so out of control that, I mean, he was just nuts. But I met him a few years ago. Of course, he's not around now, which is, you know, it's still sad. I mean, yeah. He was pretty damn good when he was in his prime. I mean, it was amazing. It was kind of like, I guess, I mean, what's silly comedy? I mean, you know,
that slapstick, funny, silly, super quick. It was almost a Robin Williams-esque stream of consciousness weirdness.
It was, but it had a bit of an Adam Sandler or Jim Carrey thing. It had a real strong attitude of the comedy clown that had tragedy in him as well. Because you could, and Jim went on, of course, to do some really good serious acting, and Adam has done some serious stuff too. But Jerry, King of Comedy, for Martin Scorsese with Robert De Niro, that's a fairly serious movie, and he was good in it. But when I met him, he was, it was at a roast, and I believe it was for Matt Lauer, and as time has proved, you don't really need to roast people because it just happens eventually anyway.
Right.
But that's a whole other story of it's been like a McCarthyism kind of era, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely it has been. It's you make a joke, and you're in trouble. You live your life, you're in trouble. The one thing I think for sure in this era, drop your skeletons out on the street before somebody else does, and then don't be a big hypocrite. You know, don't cry and face the cross and talk about how you love the Lord so much and these terrible heathens are surrounding you, and then you get caught with your finger in the honeypot. Like, you better just, go ahead.
Who is she?
Yeah, right, exactly. Or he.
James Bond villainous?
Yeah, but that's it. Isn't it always the hypocrites that you see and you go, the more I see a guy say he doesn't like gay people, the more I know he is desperate to be held in a man's arms.
That's how I feel about it. If a guy says that two men shouldn't lay together, then all he's suggesting is they should be standing while they're...
Yeah, I was behind the guy. What are you talking about? I was kneeling.
Let them walk through a car wash together. The guys that do that are very suspect.
Yeah, always. So that's that.
It's pretty sad.
Yeah, you know...
It's so easy. Well, you know what it is? It's easier to be negative than it is to be a positive person. It takes effort when you get your feelings hurt, when you have seen a certain type of person that's different than you, maybe harm someone that you know in your life, and then, or you're just nuts to be racist. I mean, it's just...
Well, that's just cowardice. I mean, it's either A, you're afraid because someone's different, and you're afraid because you don't know how to get where you want to go in life, so you have to blame somebody. Everybody's got to, you know, there's a sad truth to this world that people punch down. When the real truth, if you want to grow, you got to punch up. You have to punch up.
That's true. I always punch up, which, again, if you're in the slammer, and you got to punch up. That's what they want. That's the guy on the very bottom. That's like if you're at the bottom of the fondue pot, you gotta punch out of it.
Yeah. Well, that's it, man.
Just make sure you can find some really good antibacterial soap.
Can you imagine how terrible you would probably do in prison?
Oh, I would not do good. I would be a funny guy.
Because you're nice, you're a genuine, and you trust, and you believe in the good of people, and you see humanity in others, and that's one of those places like that none of those things apply.
No, but I hear they do occasionally. I mean, there are good people in prison.
Of course there are.
And there are some innocent people in prison.
Many.
And that's why I've decided to just admit myself. I've never been sent there, but I'm just going to go, because... you know, you get three squares a day, and you know you don't get in fights with your girlfriend anymore.
Well, let's just say your girlfriend took on a different form.
Yeah, it's true. That's that joke. One of us is going to be the husband. One of us is going to be the wife.
That's right. Which one you want to be?
I can't go on with the rest of that joke.
I learned that joke when I was probably 11 or 12 years old, and I used to love to tell that to adults.
Yeah, they I remember my first dirty jokes, and they were not good. I mean, they were like incredibly filthy, and I was like 11 or nine. Yeah. At nine, my cousins told me a joke, and it was really weird. It was I can't, but and there's no reason to tell. It's not even funny. It always had to do with somebody having poo and somehow ingesting it.
Well, the end of the other joke, I'll tell you, this is a guy goes to the joint. Guy says, you want to be the husband or the wife? And he goes, thinks somebody goes, I want to be the husband. He goes, great, get over here and suck your wife's D. It's such a great little, and I say little kid joke.
That's
but,
a cute little, that's yeah. A nice little ditty. I'm trying to think of one. I can't even think of one of the first jokes I ever heard.
I had a whole little 12-year-old repertoire because my dad would then, he was kind of, I remember back then, he was in a lighter place in his life, and he had a couple buddies that would come by, and they'd drink beer on the weekends or whatever and work on their dirt bikes and do this stuff, and he was in a happier joint. And so he'd laugh when I'd tell them jokes because he thought it was very funny that he'd taught me these jokes, mm-hmm. and I could deliver them in an okay, like enough for an 11-year-old to tell the joke. You know, and it's as bad as the old, like, how to keep a dog from humping your leg, pick him up and suck his D.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a real good one for an 11-year-old kid.
Yeah, I would write my own jokes. I would say Wendy's hot and juicy, and I should know I'm her husband. You know, because it was a commercial when I was a kid. You know, but that's about, you know, at 12, you're not supposed to know that.
Of course.
But we do know, and people always go, it's so weird because I just did a show the other night with Mike in Northern Michigan. It was beautiful. I didn't know it was so pretty up there. It's just like a whole other world. Mm-hmm. It's like, you want to look for Bigfoot, but you can't because you're at Lake Michigan. So, you know, then there's a Loch Ness Monster, which evidently transfers to any deep lake.
Oh, of course. And then you get you have the Spanish version, which is the, what is it, the...
Chupacabra.
Chupacabra, that's right. And if you're somewhere else, it's the Abominable Snowman.
Right.
it's the same thing all over the
place. The Yeti, which is also yes. What we used to call my grandmother. that's Yenta. I don't know. It's a thing in the woods that tries to match you up with people.
My dad caught my brother calling one of our older relatives Great Aunt Catfish and got himself an ass whipping on that one.
Oh, I had a cousin Tootsie. And Tootsie had a rough life, and at her funeral, she was lowered into the ground. And we had so many people in our family pass away. My dad, as you know, would because we've known each other a long time, would make jokes about it. And I'm like, Dad, please don't do this. So I'm the one that's like the straight person trying to tell, as the little kid, telling his dad, please don't do this, and embarrass us. It's everything I've done to my own children. My own kids, I can empathize with them finally. I finally figured it out. Oh, that's what my dad did to me. And as she's being lowered into the ground, he's singing an Al Jolson song, which is, Tootsie, Tootsie, goodbye. You know,
that's where it comes from, man.
Not what you do at Tootsie's funeral. And she was a remarkable lady. She actually had polio, which was... she played polo. I got confused. But she had polio, so it was really difficult. But she was a strong lady, and I upset her once. She lived in Washington, and she had light blue carpeting, just like you would in Washington, in her gorgeous apartment building, right on the main drag there, where you would see the Capitol at the end of the street. And I stepped in dog poo before I went to go into her building. And she came to the door, and I walked in, and there were brown footprints, like a twister set. And poor cousin Tootsie, with her, she's taking her crutches, and she's wanting to hit me with them, but not. And it's just, and you can't get that out. They had to replace the carpeting. And my parents were more concerned with having to pay for that. And I don't know what happened. I think they got most of it out.
Let me tell you, my big poop, terrifically horrible story as a child, I had an Aunt Millie that lived at Lake Champlain in Illinois. And we'd go visit. She had this little lake house and my uncle that was there. And I was out in the water, and it was kind of chilly. I have three brothers, and we're playing, and we keep getting in the water, out of the water, in the water, out of the water. And I don't know why my parents felt that was a problem, but my dad goes, you get out of the water again, you're out. So now I got to poop. And I don't want to get out of the water. So I poop in the water. And right. I think it'll go down. I think it's, you know, I got the perfect, I'm up to my neck in this brown water out in the lake. Not a big deal. It floats. It's a floater.
Yeah, you hadn't taken science class yet.
So then my Aunt Millie sees it, and she comes up there. I'll never forget. She's rolling up her pants legs and with a coffee can takes my turd out of the lake.
Oh, God.
My dad, you know, it's a combination of shame for being my father, anger at me being an idiot. And, yeah, no, that was a bad day. It was a super
bad day.
Was
that also the first time you ever tried coffee?
It really was.
I didn't want to have it black, but I don't want nuts, though.
God, so terrible, man. That was the same day.
I remember eating corn.
My brother was being teased by my uncle, and he bit him so hard in the arm he had to have a stitch put in.
Oh.
Yeah, we were.
That's the thing. See, those are the things when you sit and think about it. And I lived in Norfolk, Virginia, so it was... There's always some freak story that happens, just weird stuff.
Yeah.
Like kids that, like, I remember running out in the middle of the street, and my mother, who I lost a few years ago, she does not remember this story of how it happened. She reminded me of how it happened, and then I told her that's not what happened. So I run out, I'm 6 years old, I run out in the middle of the street as a car. Why do kids do this? As a car is coming right toward you, you think you're going to make it, and a car has gone like 20, and you're just running across the street because you're a stupid kid, and I had a crew cut, and so that really kind of made me. I looked like the Master Race.
You wanted to get hit? Yeah.
I think so. I don't know. And then the car, I trip, and I freeze up, and I'm in the middle of the street, which means other kids are watching this happen. So this is like, what we would say back in the day, the spazziest thing that I could have done. And I put both my hands out, and the car stops a half an inch from both my hands. And then, like I was Superman, I thought I was going to stop the car. And my mom runs out of the house screaming, my Bobby, picks me up, more embarrassing than anything in the world. I'm fine. And then, but it was dumb. I mean, kids do dumb stuff. And then they're just learning. And to be dumber. And then she carries me into the house and calls the doctor. And the doctor had to come examine me. And he comes over, and his name was Jerry Perlman. And he's still alive, believe it or not. I was on stage in Philly, and I talked to him on a cell phone.
Oh, that's great.
His granddaughter was there. And she was hot. But anyway, married guy can't say that. But my wife goes, "That girl, you think that girl's hot?" And I go, "Yeah." And she'll go, "Oh, okay, yeah, she is. She's cute." And then we use each other to think about her. And then the doctor comes over, and he looks at me, and he's laughing because my mother was such a worry wart that something would happen to Bobby. And then she goes through the doctor looks at my knee, and he goes, "Well, there's a little gravel in here." I mean, it was like the worst thing in the world. It was, I would have never existed in prison. You were right. I mean, these are the roots of the man that I became. Oh, my God. I caught the football when I was 8 years old, and I ran the wrong way.
Oh, buddy. That sounds exactly like me.
So I scored for the other team.
Sounds just like me.
And I was wondering, you did that?
No, I did stuff like that all the time. That's why I don't like sports. I was always that kid. Always.
Oh.
Awful. Awful.
I understand it now, but it's, I still can't believe I did it.
You know what's even more insulting is then in junior high, I was the kid because I was so little and unaggressive, and I was so bad at sports. I remember then I became this trick play. They're like, "Throw it to Caprifoli. Nobody's going to cover him. Mm-mm. If he can manage to catch it, it's guaranteed points." And then the terrifying moment as it's coming towards you and you don't really know how to catch it. You're trying to cradle it like a baby catch it.
Yeah.
No, it's awful. It's terrible, man.
We, living in Virginia, we used to do it with raccoons.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, and then they'd form a little ball. So we just toss them, and raccoon tossing was very popular.
Jesus.
It's rough because you can't get all net because they hang on. That's not the kind of stuff you're going to hear at the Ameristar Casino. they told me there are a few seats left, but because it's a casino, there's almost no such thing as no seats left.
Right. It's going to be an incredible packed house, man. This weekend, this Friday night. If you still want to go, there may be some you can get today, tomorrow, but you better hurry up because it's only one show. That's it.
Yeah, it's one show. And there's a bunch of new stuff I've been working on, which are just true stories. And they're real, and it's bizarre. And I'll even share one with you because... Well, you're coming to the show, so
yeah.
I'm not going to.
But I love those real stories. I mean, to me, that is the start of all comedy. Like, that's what you're going to draw from. The real life, to me, is always so much funnier and more human and self-deprecating. And just you realize that we're all just, you're just these wandering meat bags just trying not to screw up and look stupid. And occasionally, another person will find us attractive, and that just kind of makes the whole terrible thing worthwhile.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because I have the story that I'm going to tell. I told it the other night for the first time, and it really happened to me last week. And it's an upsetting story, and I will tell you this much. It involves a Mexican restaurant that didn't settle well, a bathroom with a combination lock to get in, and somehow an 11-year-old girl. I'm just telling you, those are literally the centerpieces of this story, and I can't believe it happened. And when I told it to my wife, and when I told it to my daughters, they went, "Of course that happened, Dad. Of course it did."
Yeah.
Because that's what I do. I mean, if my daughter was over the house visiting, and she's 26, she was down from Northern California, and she's going, I want somebody to eat. Can you please? Is there anything here? And I went, of course there is. There's tons of stuff now because, stepmommy Kelly is here. And I run around the house and, like, go into the cupboard and pantry, whatever the hell they call them, where it's a world of dried goods that you never eat. And they're there for 7 years. This thing's 10 years old that I don't throw out. That's just like, how many baking sodas does a person need, you know, or cans of... just tomato paste. I don't know what you do with that. Is that how you put a tomato back together?
No, I've got it all. Yeah, no, they're all wildly expired, and I can't bring myself to throw them away because someday there might be a terrible situation where I have to eat it.
Yeah, you will, but then you find out that's how botulism gets you. You don't know. But I cut my toe, like, not off, but I kind of cut it really bad, like, ooh, when you just get one of those injuries.
Yeah.
And it just kind of just, like, kind of, it's just bad, just a severed thing on a pizza oven that I never wanted, but my wife, because of her work, because she's an influencer, which means she just tells me what to do, but she gets free swag, so
right.
We have this free pizza oven. Everything gets used once, and everybody's all excited about it, and then it goes in that closet,
right.
And so it's everywhere, and I sliced my toes so bad. And so then, but my daughter was hungry, and so I don't care about my toe, so I get duct tape and paper towels, and I just wrap it so it looks like I've got a broken foot completely. It would look like a wad of paper mache gone bad. And then I continued to make her breakfast, and then eventually I went upstairs. And that's when you're afraid to look.
Yeah.
You know, you've been cut. You know it's going to bleed. You've got to deal with it.
How bad is it?
Yeah, do you need stitches? And I didn't because it was kind of, I hope people are not eating breakfast, but callus involved. And if your callus is, if there's that there, you're kind of okay.
See, maybe you'd have done well in prison.
See, I could have. I could take a punch. Yeah. I could be sliced open and not look at it.
That's right.
Yeah, if you're not going to look, then you're fine. If a guy gets you with a knife or a jib. Call it a jib? What is it called?
I think jibs are on ships. That's a shiv.
Oh, a shiv.
That's when you sharpen like your toothbrush and stab somebody.
Oh, I would not do well in prison. Why'd you put that jib in my stomach?
Did I tell you about the time I had to go to the emergency room not that long ago last year to get 16 stitches? It involved a coffin and a bottle of whiskey at 11 o'clock at night.
No. So, what?
Somebody had given me a coffin. It was a brand new coffin, still in the box. because their company went out of business, and somebody had bought this, the backstory is years before, because they told they were terminally ill, and they got better. And so this thing sat there and got musty, even though it was brand new, just it sat in a warehouse. So he gives it to me. I'm going to hand it to my buddy who's got a haunted house, but it's in my garage. And it's this is straight out of a Motley Crue video. Like, it's red and black, and then you open it, and it's just whorehouse red velvet on the inside. Like, it's fantastic. And so we're shooting a boomerang with Sassy Von Fancy Pants. Maybe I'd been drinking. And the boomerang is that little short app that makes you just recycle your movements, a little six-second little, you know, and it'll go forward, backwards, forwards, backwards. And so I'm trying to jump in, jump out, jump in, jump out. And I stick my hand, the side of it, on the latch, and it's dull. And it starts about the bone, your wrist bone, and cuts me all the way to the pinky through the fat side of the outside of your hand.
And oh, my God.
I immediately grab it. I don't. And she's like, and it's bleeding on the floor. I go, let's go upstairs. Let's put it under the water. Let's just see how it is. The second I put it under there, I realize it's filling up. Like, it's holding water. The cut's so big. And then the fat comes out. And I'm like, oh, we're going to have to go to the hospital now.
And you had a Popeye-sized hand?
Oh, my God. It's literally, like, I'm not kidding. And then I get to the doctor, and I don't want to explain anything to me. He's like, how did this happen? And I go, in the garage. I'm not telling him.
That's not really a good explanation.
It happened in the garage.
How long ago was this?
Yeah, about a year ago.
That's great. So you really haven't grown much since you drank a coffee cup of soup.
No.
Out of the lake.
No.
I keep doing. I've always been the clumsy guy. That's kind of my thing. So.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
That's why you do what you do. But you're really good at it. I mean, a lot of people do it, but they don't have actual conversations. They just, you know what they do. They just know the time, and they're going, you know.
I love a good story. I'm willing to get stitches if it results in a fantastic story. I'm willing to get a little humiliation and embarrassment, but only if it results in a really good story.
Yeah, and then there's stories that I'm, like, ashamed that I did, like, terrible things, like being, like, 6 years old in a garage and trying to tell the neighborhood girl that you want to see her. and then, you know, and say, I'll give you this troll doll if you show it to me. And I was six. And then she does. And then I go, and she goes, give me the troll doll. I go, no, I'm disappointed. So that's, what kind of chauvinist, misogynistic was I at 6 years old? Where did I learn that? My dad wasn't like that. My mom wasn't like that. I learned it from probably watching the Rat Pack and how how things were back in the 50s and 60s.
Listen, I think it's even more basic than that. I think it's through our DNA that are just from caveman times. Me give you this, you show me that.
Yeah, but normally the caveman goes, okay, here. Gives you the little rock made of rock troll doll.
You prenupped it, though. You just did your own prenup.
Yeah, I did. That's what that is. I did the same thing with Kelly when I proposed. I offered her the troll doll. That's my litmus test.
It's the best.
She's got 400 of them now.
Listen, here's the worst thing. This is the worst. Because the girls like Kelly and my girl, Sassy Von Fancy Pants, they're so good and sweet and nice that you're all of your defenses will be gone because you can't hold them up. If you can see a little bit of negativity in somebody or a little thing to be worried about, you can always hold something back. But there's just like, I'm done. Like, I'm cooked now. No, I don't plan on getting married, but I don't have any more. There's no more wall left. I don't have. I'm completely invaded inside here.
You're not out looking for more.
No. And not because of morality, because I truly am like a really genuinely happy, satisfied person for the first time in my life in that department.
Yes, in your whole life you have been this happy?
No, you know what? I'll be honest. It's the best 10 years of my life.
That's amazing.
No, I really mean it. Like, it was a missing component.
I hate that when you get like a Heath kit or you're going to put together a model airplane and it's got a missing component. I have never, ever put together something that was, and that was back in the day when people made less mistakes. People are making more mistakes now than ever. Wouldn't you agree? Don't you think we are in kind of a mistake? People are
Everybody's in a hurry.
They're fumbling the ball a lot.
All the time.
Yeah, but back in the day, we'd get these intricate, you know, airplane kits, and then I'd build this big wingspan plane that flew. It had a motor in it, and it was balsa wood, and so it was a glider.
Yeah. I used to love those.
And I loved it. It had kind of a rubber coating that you had to iron carefully onto it. So it was almost made of the same. The idea, aerodynamically, you could fly it, but it always ended up being destroyed because they always crashed. But they always had the most important piece missing, the thing that would hold the nose cone on, or whatever
it was. Yeah, of course.
And now we're at a place where you order something and you just don't, there's no parts. You know, you open the box and it's like just the plastic stuff that you can iron onto nothing, onto your toe that's been cut.
You just reminded me of this memory. So they used to sell these somewhat expensive giant styrofoam gliders. They were white styrofoam. You put stickers on. It was pretty simple to put together, but it cost a little more than I had. I was like, probably 10 years old. And they were probably, at the time, $12 or $15, which was quite a bit of money. And so I saved up like $2 here, $4 here, $6 here. Over the course, I'm sure it was only a couple weeks it took to get the money, but it seemed like a long time to want something. We took it up. I was pretty excited because this thing was bigger than I was. Its wingspan was like 4 feet. My dad, we get up on this hill, and this is the great irony of it. It worked, which means it was gone forever. He threw it, and it just went. And went, and it was just gone.
Lewis and Clark.
That was it. One time. Oh, God. Yeah.
I did one of the dumbest things. I was like 10, and my parents bought me an army tank, and it was a good one. No parts missing. You put little rubber bullets in it, which is always nice to see kids. And you push a button on a remote control, and it but with a wire remote control. So it didn't go anywhere. You had to stand behind
a wire and a
remote, and it would fire the bullets. And that was it. That's what it did. The turret would turn. And I was so happy with it. And then one day, I'd played with it for about, a couple weeks. And I think it was a Christmas/Hanukkah present, which that's an 8-day holiday, which I don't do that because that's 8 gifts.
That's awesome.
Great. Because it was only one gift, I decided to take it apart. And I literally broke the whole thing apart because I wanted to find out how it worked. I wanted to know how the engine worked, how the turret worked, how it fired these bullets. And my mother comes out onto the patio where I was doing it and was really genuinely upset because they had spent a lot of money on it. They didn't have a ton of money. And they said, "Why'd you do that?" I said I wanted to see how it worked, and they made me eat it piece by piece. and actually, when I eliminated it, it came out completely put back together again. So that's
the power of Hanukkah.
It's the magic of Hanukkah. I was able to poop an entire tank. So that was, and it still worked, but it smelled crappy. What? It's a poop joke.
My brother,
people don't like puns, you know, they really don't.
I do. I see, I'm okay with a good pun.
Well, you know, I mean, Groucho in a lot of comedy comes from puns.
Yeah.
But then you got the new Dave Chappelle special, which is not pun related. It's about freedom of speech.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. And a lot of people got annoyed at it because you're not allowed to say any of this stuff. And I can't help but say stuff still, you know, and that's a little difficult. But, you know, because if I just said I don't want to offend anybody, so my show tonight is going to be 40 seconds long.
You just got to do what you do. Look, your heart is good, and you know it's good, and your character is straight, and everything about you is correct. And if it's comedy to you, then it's comedy. And if they don't like it, then don't come to the show. But you do have to look, I know you pretty well, and I do feel like I confidently can say, like, I know how your heart works. I know how your morality works, your character, how you see this world, what hurts you, what bothers you to see other people going through. And out of all my friends, you should apologize the least for whatever you say.
You're kind. I'm not as blue as I was, and I'm kind of disappointed in myself. It's like new stuff I'm telling, but it always seems to sound like I'm going to say something dirty.
I think it's fine. Reason. I think it's great. Listen, you're one of the greatest comedians ever. And listen, this week you're going to see him this Friday at Ameristar at the casino. And like you said, it's crowd work, man. It's going to depend. Everything comes from this audience, and it took me, you know, a bunch of shows to really start to kind of unravel that in my head and watch it. I realized, man, he really, it's off the cuff. He's accessing, a la Robin Williams, these files in the back of his head as fast as he can as it pertains to whatever discussion's happening right now. And then you take it and you run it back into another great story, into another great joke, another great ending, another great moment. And it's a real gift, man. I mean, that's to me, that's
special. Well, I love it.
Especially.
I'm only with him a certain amount of time. And the casino, you know, I still do too long. You know, casino time, he's supposed to do an hour show. Well, Mike's going to do 20 minutes, and then I'm going to do probably... Yeah, I hope the casino's listening, but it'll be longer than it, a little bit longer. But they want, in casinos, they want you to be out gambling. But I get people so excited. People drink a lot of my shows, which is, I'm sure you've noticed that they do.
Oh, yes.
So theaters always do really well, and people love it. They're, wow, our bar was really hopping. It's usually because, you know, 35-year-old people who watched Full House when they were young are going, we're going to go see Saget, man. Let's get really drunk. And it's like, but that's...
Oh.
It's a little hard to understand everything I'm saying because, you know, callbacks and things like that are difficult to remember what happened 12 minutes before, especially if you're yakking down your shirt.
Oh, and it's in the only time I've ever really been embarrassed in front of Mr. Saget was, it was Kevin. And I'm getting texts from Kevin, and I'm on my way to the second show at the Improv, and he's like, ah, blah, blah, blah. I go, hold on, you on your phone right now? And he's like, yeah, I'm in the front. And then I get a text. He just asked me what I was texting, and I'm like, oh, no. And ding, it comes in. I told him you. I'm like, God damn it, like, son of a bitch. Immediately, I'm like, get off your goddamn phone. Ah! And then I see him walking out of the room, and I'm just getting there, and he's like, he thought it was so funny. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, what have you done? I'm like, what have you done to me now? And then I get a text from Bob. Hey, your friend's not going to be at the second show.
People. I think alcohol. Well, anything. You know, it's not just alcohol. It's everything. There's so many choices of how to lose your mind,
yeah.
And embarrass yourself. The main thing is that you don't hurt anybody. You know.
Of course.
Do the Frankenstein drive. You know, you just get in the car and it's like, go home.
He hurt me. Know. He hurt me deeply that night.
Taco Bell. You know, it's like,
uh-huh.
I don't know. I can't wait to eat ribs. I mean, we're
listen,
coming in early just
empty,
to spot the blood.
Empty your bowels now, sir, because we're refilling them with meat.
Yeah. It's, but is the meat better now than it was?
Yeah, listen, there's so many. There's a couple places. Man, I wish we had more time. The Jones, you know, the Jones sisters that were on Queer Eye? Did you see about that? They're over off Caw Drive. These two older black ladies that make this incredible sauce and have two different small barbecue shacks I just discovered. They're incredible. In fact, I want to have them on the show. They're so much ridiculous fun. Like, these ladies, we're going to have to run the dump on them, like, nonstop. Like, they're fantastic characters.
Wow.
You know, and of course, there's always Gates, which is outstanding. There's Jack Stack, which is super high-end. There's so many. And then there's...
I like it there. I like the burnt tips. I got one once when I accidentally rested my crotch on a light bulb. But it takes a lot. I wanted to have a three-way, but nobody wanted to, so I just got the bulb. And that is a dad joke, I guess, but it involves a crotch joke. So if you're going to do, I think a combo makes it maybe not a pun. Anyway, who came up with calling it a burnt tip? That just sounds terrible.
I had a burnt tip because it's 501 button flies fresh out of the dryer. No underwear.
Oh, that's right. It would be.
Yeah, oh, it hurts.
That would, I like that. I like warm underwear. The only thing is, if it's not dry completely, you can get mold on your package. And if you got moldy junk, nobody's gonna want it.
No,
girls. They take a Limburger cheese and rubbing it up and down your taint.
How old are you? God damn it.
Yeah. I'm old.
No. I was thinking about getting asked that as you have mold on
your tongue. Oh, that.
Yeah.
You know what it all comes down to, though? We kind of inferred it earlier in the conversation, is we never really grew up totally. So that's what, you know, comedy can be. It can be, yes, it can be political satire. And there are people that I watch that I really love. I actually watched John Oliver's show last night because he's a friend and he's just so good.
Yep.
But, you know, I don't do that stuff because I just don't want to. I want people to have fun. But it brings out the 9-year-old in you. Or when you're... I love Jim Gaffigan. So when I'm watching Jim and he's talking about how people react to things, and it's usually about food. And with little kids, there's something about that. Not losing that, and you, it's cliche, but it's the theme of so many movies that have worked and novels that have worked over the years before movies. Because there was writing at one point. but you know, to not lose your inner child, there's something really beautiful about that. And unfortunately, mine was full of, you know, just disgusting talk and talk of poo. And, you know, just, and girls never liked it. They never learned it. You know, you don't do bathroom humor. They don't like it.
You know, that's probably why Sassy Von Fancy Pants and I get along so well. I've spent the last 4 days, I decided her new name was Hey Booby Lady. Hey Miss Booby Lady. And so, and you have to reach over and touch her breasts every time.
That's a 5-year-old. You know, if you call the lady Booby Lady.
Yeah, she's Booby Lady. Go, hey Booby Lady.
Well, I'll be in the closet and Kelly will be in another room and I'll just have a little popcorn sound of letting one fly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll hear a laugh from 50 feet away.
That's
and I'll
say,
why are you laughing at that? She said, it sounded cute.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, come on over here. It's not as cute if you're near it, you know. I had a sardine sandwich. It didn't work.
But that's how you know you found somebody.
Yeah, if they laugh at you fart.
That's right. That's right.
I don't fart anymore, though. I want to have a healthy fuselage, so I'm trying not to. That's why I'll be at any barbecue place I can on Friday.
Oh, we are. Oh, we'll gorge. Prepare yourself. All right,
okay.
Listen, go back to sleep. It's early there.
Oh, we're going to have a great time. I'm be happy to see you. Yeah. And Mike, we're all excited. And then I leave the next day for San Diego because I'm part of this Kaboo Festival, which is a really good
rock. Excellent. That's huge. My buddy Jeremy Dixon is going to be at Kaboo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the one in Del Mar?
Yeah, yeah, he's one of the big production guys on it.
Yeah, well, I'll be there. And,
oh, I'll connect. You will love him. You will adore
him. Yeah, tell him to come to me because I'll be hiding. It's like 3,000 people in this comedy tent, I believe.
Yep.
And while I'm on, you'll be, if you're seeing me, you'll be missing the Bangles. But I want to go see Susanna Hoffs because I always had a crush on her.
Yeah, me too.
But she's married to Jay Rhodes, so she did the right choice. Who's one of the funniest people. Directed Austin Powers and a lot of good movies. He's just brilliant. And she still looks the same. It's unbelievable. Some people are so lucky that they don't age. And I played with her one night in a band in L.A. It could be a fairly superficial world. And our kid's school, it was Christopher Cross. It was...
Really?
I'm sorry?
No, that's amazing. Chris Cross and Susanna Hoffs?
Yeah, you know, sailing, not Chris Cross, but...
Yeah. I don't want to jump.
And then the drummer from the Foo Fighters, who I can't remember his name.
Taylor Hawkins.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, thank you. And then Susanna's singing, and I'm singing, and they're singing my backup. And it was, I was singing, instead of Hey Jude, it was Hey Dude, and the show was written by the kids. So I had to do, like, you know, eighth grade lyrics. but we had a real band. And it was like 6 minutes long, and I'm the main singer.
That's great. And it was that all those people had kids in that school.
Yeah. And that was the idea, was to make a big fundraiser. And it was a very expensive ticket.
Pretty fun.
But the kids are in the play with the people. And Jack Black went to that school. And it's a school that would... it was, you know, an entitled school, but what they would do is they would have scholarships for people from the inner city that would apply, and so they would go there. So the school was quite integrated, and it really worked for this, you know, it was
of course.
I guess some people would call it, you know, you're all those leftists trying to do this and make a fake utopian world. It's
oh, how dare you?
Well, at least somebody's trying.
Yeah, how dare you pay attention to your kids? And you know what? Look, my dad was a good dad, but he was not going to embarrass himself or get up on a stage. He just wasn't. That wasn't his era. He would lay down his life for you as a kid, but pretty much it was that era of if you weren't bleeding and you were fed and there was a roof over your head, he had 100% completed the fatherhood job. And I understand that time, but think about what you guys are doing. You're spending time with these kids. You're showing them it's okay to keep that kid alive, to go up on stage and sing silly lyrics and have fun. Man, what better gift could you ever give a kid? That and empathy.
Well, that's the thing about, here's a guy, me, who always had a crude sense of humor, but then I'm kind of policing it a little bit more now that I'm over 60. And then I watch, a Full House show, and I'll go, or a Fuller House, and I'll go, well, that's why I did that, because I'm proud that I did that. I'm not trying to get things past the censor. I'm just... And the old Videos After Dark is coming on in the winter. So I said, what's the air date? And ABC said, it's definitely on, but it's winter, spring. I said, what is this, Game of Thrones? It's winter, spring.
It'll be great.
It will be 14 episodes, so we're excited about it. It's really quite. It was very nice. Your buddy there gave a compliment to it.
Jake, yes. Well, listen. You have more compliments coming. We're going to have to do them on Friday because I just realized you and I have been talking for more than an hour and I've been playing a commercial.
No, and bring a flamethrower. I want to cinch some eyebrows in the audience.
If your home wasn't in California, I would have already sent you one.
Oh, this is exciting. But we can't do that here.
You can't.
You
no, it's illegal.
Land.
It's illegal there. All right.
I don't know what happened in Brazil, but, somebody had one.
Yeah, well, those poor bastards.
The world is it's got some crying in it right now.
Well, that's why laughter's, again, we've had this discussion. That's why it's important to go to the Ameristar show, to just forget about it for a minute. Turn off the news cycle.
Yeah,
go laugh a little bit.
Get into that room and just have a great time.
Yeah.
That's my job. It's like, it was funny. It was just two nights ago. It's like, wait a minute, two nights ago, three nights ago, you were in Chicago. Two nights ago, you were in Michigan. I don't know. I've been like, I'm road confused. I actually magnetized my penis, and I actually use it as a compass because I'm never remembering to bring my phone has a compass app, but I don't have time if my magnetized penis can just get me places.
Well, don't put your
hotel.
It's
a very easy thing to do. All you do is you dip it in solder. And you metallicize it, and then you have to magnetize it, so you got to hook it up to electrodes, and it's not that complicated. I recommend it to most of your listeners, and I'm coming up with my own instructions on how to do it. I don't know if they're right or not, but all I know is I'm always heading north. Always. it just goes straight up to the pole.
He is the great Bob Saget. He is at the Ameristar Casino this Friday night. I love you, man, and I
love you too, Johnny.
I always love to hear your voice and have this conversation, and you're one of my favorite people on this earth.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not because we're great. It's just there's so many rancid people running around.
The tallest pygmies.
By the process of elimination, we are best friends.
All right, man, I'll see you soon. Hold on, Jerry.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you Friday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.